Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Now, I started talking about yesterday. If you missed yesterday, you got to catch it. There's some very encouraging. We're going to begin a conversation, and we're going to just soak in amongst the mercy and the grace and the love and the forgiveness and the truth of God, which we try to stay in, is also the truth of faith, you know, and we want to build your faith up. We want to give you a grid that you can begin to have faith in God. And I want to encourage you, too, that if you have not yet gone to VFNTV.com and watched on VFNTV or on your app, The Cross of Christ, The Dependency Factor, you need to do that, because as you're progressing through faith, and quite often, I remember when Dick Rubin went to a particular faith movement and a powerful movement of God, you know, Christians that were just really focused on honing their faith, that God had him rebuke them and said, you got faith in faith. Mm-hmm. You got faith in faith, and you need to get faith in God. Mm-hmm. And you can have a tendency, once you find out how, and people have it, I mean, it's amazing. Human nature is, once you figure out how to do it, you forget the one who taught you how to do it. Mm. And it's like, man has a tendency to leave God behind. Has a tendency to do that. And the power of faith, I mean, you think about it, even Eli wanted to buy it, you know, when Paul was had his ministry going on, and you have other people I've seen when God begins to manifest his power in a specific way, they, it's a whoredom spirit. I mean, it's just like this lust. And it's like you're thinking they're wanting God, but really some people, not all people, majority are running after God because these are signs, but they're really having a whoring spirit after the power. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh my goodness. And it's like it's the same thing. Man wants to rule. They want the big whatever to rule over people. And so when you begin to move in faith, I want to encourage you to remember it's faith in God. You know, Jesus, we talked about yesterday, Jesus said, have faith in God. And in the context of that, with God, with Jesus as your shepherd, our shepherd, and in the cross of Christ and our dependency factor on his finished work on the cross, we're focused on walking out his predestined plan for us that he chose us before the foundation of the earth. We're not grabbing it, the ability to create and going into the world. I mean, look, you can see people in the world who don't even know God, who began to tap into how they were created and have began to create, you know, and speak things into existence, give the, we said the speeches that we talked about yesterday, and they get a following, and they get caught up in the fact of, like, since it's coming together, it must be God. And it's like, mm-hmm. well, that's what they said at the Tower of Babel, but that's not mm-hmm. true. Right. Because at the Tower of Babel, remember that they were all together, one vision, one heart, one mind, and they said, you know, this is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And it happened for them. They were going to build a tower to heaven. And of course, in our mindsets today, because of our pride, we would say, well, how could they build a tower to heaven? I mean, mm-hmm. they didn't have cranes, right?
Yeah. Right.
As if our cranes can reach heaven.
Right. Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
As if our planes can reach heaven. Mm. You know, just, oh, Lord, forgive us. And so, but then you go back and you look at the pyramids and you look at things and it's like, we don't know everything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But either way, this is what God said. Mm-hmm. This is what God said. He said that after getting a report of what's going on down there, he says, listen, we're either going to go down there, and we're going to need to break this up. Because they're in agreement, because they're walking under one vision, because they, and I'm putting into my words, because they've tapped into how I created them, they're going to accomplish this. Mm-hmm. And so what did he do? He came and changed the languages. And if you can't communicate, and this is what I'm telling you, one of the big things, you know, this promulgated by a couple that are no longer married anymore. Mm. And it's been infiltrated into the church is, you know, men are from Mars and women are from Venus.
Yeah.
And they just people just buy into the fact that men and women can't communicate. And the truth is, that's not true. You know, men can communicate with women. Women can communicate with men. Because if you can't communicate, it'll be like the Tower of Babel and your marriage is going to be destroyed. If you buy into the fact that I'm just not going to talk to him, I'm just not going to talk to her, it's going to be like the Tower of Babel.
Mm-hmm.
Because God came and confused their languages so that they could not walk in agreement. And when they couldn't walk in agreement, then it was no longer possible for them. And not only that, they quit hanging out together. They quit hanging out together. They began to migrate and go around. At that time, it pretty much probably was just one piece of landmass that had not yet broken up and pondered its way across the ocean.
All right.
A few theories. But if you don't believe that, stay in California for a while. I think it's about the wonder.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And but that's how powerful, you know, faith is and agreement is and having a clear vision is that even when you have it wrong, even if it's not of God, even if it's a tower to heaven, even if it's the Trump Tower, even if it's the Taj Mahal or the Iron Curtain, or if it's wanting to rule the world, you know, if it's wanting to be a George Soros and crash down nations, economies, you know, whatever it is, or if it's for a third great awakening and believe, you know, say it just comes to pass. How we've been created in the image and the likeness of God, which means that if he's a creator, big C creator,
right?
Then if we're creating his image and likeness, then we're our creator, but little c.
Mm-hmm.
But we can only create in the confines of his, within his will, as his sons and daughters of God. Right. But there's people who have not given their life to God, and they just go wild with what they're going to do.
Right.
You know, they're going to create wealth. They're going to create islands with their name on it and industry and kingdoms. They're going to create kingdoms. And and with that,
they do it.
Yeah, they do that. And it's amazing to me the tendency of folks to automatically put people on a pedestal who use their creative gift, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever it is, good or bad, versus having an awestruck factor with the creator who created us, that it's because, like he talks about Romans chapter 1, that we acknowledge God, that he's the one that created us in his image and his likeness, and we have that authority. And he says, listen, I want you to go take dominion, and I want you to rule over the things on the earth, that, you know, not man, but over, you know, the animals and the birds and the earth. And with that, you know, we can speak things into existence. And people say, well, that's not true. There are so many people trying to get over what their great granddaddy said to them, you know, and they're struggling with a sentence that was given them. And it created inside of them something that they just can't shake. And they spend their whole life talking about what their great granddaddy said about them.
Right.
And you know the reason why? Because he created something over you when he said that. He spoke a curse over you. He released something in your life, which you now can begin to defeat that in God, and you can begin to speak something differently over your life and believe something differently. And all of a sudden, you're set free.
Mm-hmm.
You're set free when you begin to follow the ways of God and speak what God says about you over you and no longer believe. That's the power to create, the power to bind and loose in Jesus' name. And so he went there, Dick Rubin went there to be able to, it wasn't what he was planning on doing, but he ended up having to rebuke a large faith movement for having faith and not faith in God. So as we're moving in this journey, realize, you know, lay everything down, every talent, everything we do, you know, is not for our being, but it's for the advancement of the kingdom. It's for the Lamb who is worthy. It's for Jesus. And if it don't fit that category, you know, you really need to ponder it. Are you living your life for yourself, or have you denied yourself, picked up your cross, and followed the Lord? Mm. Doesn't mean you're perfect or anything. And it's okay to take care of, you know, and God wants you to be taken care of. But in regards to, but what about the other 95% of your life?
Right.
You know, what are you creating during that time? And some people say, you know, well, I've already created my wealth. I've already created my stuff and my things. I'm not going to create, I'm just going to spend the rest of my 95% just enjoying that and kicking back and doing nothing.
Right.
And so, so I just want to just put an alert out for all of us to just remember that, this is a powerful revelation, and we're going to have to get the fullness, the full measure of Christ, and this is part of the full measure of the revelation of Jesus Christ. But we have to humble ourselves and say, Lord, how do you want me to, quote, invest this gift, this talent, this creativity in my life? Because remember, the master gives certain talents away, but then he comes back and says, how did you invest them?
Great gift means great responsibility.
That's exactly it. And everybody's been given a measure of faith. And it's not that you're doing what everybody else is doing, but what are you doing with the measure that you have been given?
That's right. You know, I was abiding in Mark chapter 2, and I saw where Jesus was ministering in a house, and so packed. I mean, the people are standing outside the house. I mean, Jesus was obviously extremely popular, and people gathered everywhere. Well, there was this man who was he was paralyzed. Mm-hmm. Couldn't get in, but knew that Jesus was there, and Jesus was preaching and healing the people that were sick. And so his friends, I'm paraphrasing, his friends take him on over there in a stretcher. They carry him out there. And because there wasn't any room to get in, people are standing outside the door, they decide to lower him through the roof. I mean, you can imagine these guys crawling and climbing up this house.
Right.
Tearing up the roof. I wonder whose house that was, but they're tearing up the roof.
Yeah, right.
And they lower this man, I don't know, maybe right before Jesus. I mean, and Jesus looks up and is just watching this thing unfold. And the Word of God says that when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. The thing about faith is that faith is displayed. You can actually see faith.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes people say, well, I have faith. Well, so,
okay. Where is it?
Where can we see it?
Mm-hmm.
You can actually see faith. And if it's not displayed, you got to come to the point that there's really no faith at all. You know, and the Word of God says in James 2:17 that in the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, it is dead. And it's really the action that proves that we actually have faith. And the word faith means complete confidence and trust in a person or a remedy. In this case, we're talking about faith in God. We're not talking about, as we mentioned earlier, faith in faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's faith in God, because people have misplaced faith, misplaced confidence. I'm amazed at how much faith people put in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But they have faith in jobs. They have faith in people. They have faith in their ability and their resources.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about having faith in God, and that's trusting in God's word. It's being fully persuaded of God's ways, his character, and his integrity, and his proven faithfulness.
Right.
That's what we're saying. We're having faith in God, and we accept God at his word, you know, and you see so much unfaithfulness today. You know, who are we to say that we can't have faith in God? When we're saying we're not having faith in God, what we're saying is, God, I can't trust you.
Right.
We're questioning his integrity.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
And the truth is that the greatest thing that the enemy tries to do is to shake us in our faith. And he does that by trying to get us to doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And really, doubt is a powerful thing, because it really waters you down. It causes you to be unsure.
Mm-hmm.
It causes you to be uncertain, unstable. It causes you to lack confidence and be skeptical. And the truth is that our doubts are traitors. I mean, they cause us to be, you know, make us lose. This is what someone said. I'm gonna read your quote. It says, our doubts are traitors and make us lose the good we might have won.
Hmm.
And it causes us to be really kind of wishy-washy and to be in a perpetual state of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And what can you do, totally uncertain? What can you do being wishy-washy?
Mm-hmm.
Someone would say loosey-goosey. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you're not doing anything. You're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. And having faith requires you to be very clear, very specific, very purposeful, and in the direction that you're going, and the
which
whole
brings it very accountable.
Absolutely.
And that's where we personally struggle, is that if I start being specific, then I'll be held to specific expectations.
Mm.
So if I keep it ambivalent, I keep my job description down.
Right.
They'll never know I'm not doing it.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So being very specific, say, you know, we're going to have the next step out back. It's going to be on this day.
That's right.
It's going to look like this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it puts everybody in a state of, oh my goodness.
Right.
It's right. The accountability.
It's yeah. huge.
Right. And that's what faith does. Faith puts that accountability. When we start being that specific,
mm-hmm.
our whole life then becomes accountable.
That's right.
To our profession of faith.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
And so to not have that kind of intensity in one's life, they can just say they have faith.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But you ask them and they're not going to be specific. They're not going to be, there's no evidence.
There's no clear, there's no purposeful.
Yeah. Right.
And they're flown by the wind.
Right. Right. But the weakness of mankind is, well, if I say something very specific, then I'm going to have to believe God and begin to have the actions
right.
that follow that and not to quit doing what I'm doing.
That's right. Yeah. We were talking yesterday, you got to hone it out. You really have to get real specific. You got to write it out. You got to hone it out.
Yeah.
You got building plans, strategy. And you know, there's four steps. You missed yesterday. You got to listen to incubating the power of incubating faith. I mean, there's four phases that we talked about yesterday. It's so powerful because it just doesn't happen.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? It
right.
just doesn't happen. And the question is, if a believer has faith, what are you believing in? Are you believing in God? You know, are you believing that God's going to be the one to bring it to pass? Or are you believing in the fact that you're going to bring it to pass?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the truth is that all we can do, you know, God rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of faith. He's a rewarder of those that trust him. And we can begin to start speaking these things out. And once we start speaking them out, we can actually begin to start living them and walking them out.
Right.
But God doesn't respond to ambivalence.
Mm-mm.
You know, and if you're not specific, how will you know that you even got the thing that you're believing for when it shows up?
Right, exactly.
How will you know?
How would you even recognize it?
You wouldn't. That's just it. And if you think about everything that happens in the kingdom of God, I mean, your salvation comes by faith, your healing comes by faith. It's such
a promise comes by faith.
Promise by faith. Everything that we do in the kingdom of God is all by faith. And that's why the enemy comes so strong to try to sow that seed of doubt, to cause you to have mistrust, misgivings, to have you to have any kind of reservations and apprehension, because it's all about stopping what God wants to use you to believe him for. When we're operating in faith, we're actually partnering with God, and he's partnering with us. And together, we can see the vision come to pass. We can see what God wants to do all across the world. But, you know, in order to do that, you know, God created us in his image. You know, God's the Trinity, the triune being, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, man is a triune being. He has a body that helps him relate to the earth. He has a soul that he has a mind to think. He has emotions. He has the ability to a will, a choice, a desire. And he also has a spirit. And his spirit is what allows him to communicate with God, to have communion with him. And so oftentimes what happens when we're trying to walk in faith is that we're trying to bring something to pass in a logical mindset using our mind, instead of believing God, you know, in our spirit and in our heart for what he wants to do. Listen, God's not out of, I love what it was David Hogan said, God's not out of his mind, he's out of your mind. It's exactly what he wants you to be, because if you're analytical and you're trying to put rulers all over God, it's not going to happen. You're trying to measure what God's going to do, it's not going to come to pass. God exists outside of our logic, outside of our mind, outside of our reasoning, and he lives totally in a totally different dimension. It's the spiritual realm. And it requires us to let go of logic and just believe God for what he said he's going to do, for what he said in his word, and for looking over the faithfulness that God has had in our lives through so many years. When we're saying that we don't trust God, what we're saying is, Lord, you don't have integrity. We can't trust in your faithfulness. We can't trust in your word. And that's so not true. We can absolutely trust him.
Yeah, that's it. And the testing of your faith, that bombardment that comes. Listen, if you don't, it says, this is what the word of God says. It says, without vision, without vision, a people perish. The NIV says it this way: without vision, people are without restraint.
Mm. Yeah.
And one of the benefits of walking in faith, which means going through, if just like John was talking about, you need to go back and see the article on the VFN Torch, the incubating faith, is I hope there's a link to this one as well at the bottom, but it says that people without vision cast off restraint. And if you're having, and listen, we all have issues, and I'll be talking about that with the wisdom moment in the extra hour today. But the whole thing is that there'll be a lot less of that in your life with vision.
Right.
Because it helps you make decisions. It helps you say yes to some things, no to others, and it helps you realize why you got to leave your life of sin, why you need mm-hmm. to, there's a reason. Mm-hmm. There's a reason for living. When people have, a feeling of hopelessness and a feeling of, why am I even here? That's a person without a vision, without a purpose. And that's what's so important in being specific in the substance of things hoped for. You can see someone who walks in faith. You can just see it.
Right.
You can feel it too. It's so tangible.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.